Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Pickle pork, a new beginning, let's go. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Baby said she wanna go to the game. Taught her how to say Padre gang. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Mitchell and Ness with the old school name. All of the homies holler Padre gang. Yeah, that.
And good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 181 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I am your host, Ben Fadden. We got a lot to talk about today. The San Diego Padres just finished off their series split with the Colorado Rockies losing on Sunday. Luis Garcia got that two-run double to Ryan McMahon late in the game. I think it was the eighth inning. Overall, you can't be too pissed off about a series split, although this was a series that I thought they should have won. But they didn't lose the series, right? And now they get to go on a road trip, face the Cubs, face the Rockies again, and then they'll come back home. So, we got a lot to discuss every game. Your thoughts as well. Anyone live here on the YouTube channel, on the Talking Friars YouTube channel, feel free in the comments to ask any questions or your thoughts on the series at all. Again, my name is Ben Fadden. I'm your host at Talking Friars. You can follow the Twitter account, Instagram, TikTok. For anyone on the podcast platforms listening, I appreciate you, and I hope you subscribe to the YouTube channel for daily Padres content, pregame shows, postgame reactions, series reactions, breakdowns, video stuff, Inside Petco. So stay tuned for all that stuff. All right. This episode is brought to you by Gaglione Bros Famous Cheesesteaks and Garlic Fries, located inside Petco Park in Mission Gorge, Point Loma. You can visit gaglionebros.com to view their entire menu, the phone numbers, the addresses, all that good stuff. I just met with Joe Gaglione, the head guy of Gaglione's, the other day at Petco, actually on Friday night. So I'll be giving away some stuff that he gave me in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for that. I think I'll start with a giveaway tomorrow on Monday. Stay tuned for that. I already see Randall Porter here in the chat. We lost two games straight. This is really bad. We should beat the Rockies. What the heck are the Padres doing? Well, look, the Rockies are a major league team. In the second game, Blake Snell pitched well. I think this last game of the series, what you got to do is you got to take the positives from the series, right? From the game. Blake Snell pitched well in the series finale, six innings, two runs. Yeah, did the offense not totally show up? Yeah. Luke Voit hit a big, big home run, crushed it to the upper deck of the Western Metal Supply building. Luis Garcia, yeah, did he give up the two runs? Like I said in my post-game reaction, yeah, he did. But for anyone that says that he sucks and overreacting and saying, oh, we need to get this like big eighth inning guy and totally fortify the bullpen, it's like you're overreacting. He hasn't given up a run in 20 of his 24 appearances. While people were, in my comments on Twitter and all that thing about Luis Garcia, I went up and looked up the game logs and all that to see if, yeah, maybe he is underperforming. No, he's not. He came into today's game with 8 shutout performances out of the bullpen. And so, yeah, was that one of the disappointing performances? That's kind of the title of this episode, encouraging and disappointing performances in this Rockies series split. There was a lot more encouraging ones, I thought, than negative ones or than disappointing performances. I know that you could definitely say that the offense as a whole is like a disappointing performance, but you also got to remember that Germán Márquez pitched really well today. Kyle Freeland pitched really well today, or excuse me, yesterday in the second game. They did score 9 runs in the first game. Now, did I want them to spread that out throughout the weekend? Of course, but I'm choosing, and usually I don't really do this, but I am choosing to take the positives out of this 4-game split for the Padres. And there were encouraging performances. Luke Voit with the home run, and then even like on Friday, he had good at-bats. Nomar Mazara played well on Friday, and I think he continues to have good at-bats whenever he starts. Musgrove, obviously, we'll get to him shortly. Six shutout innings. And now his ERA is still, 1.50 right now. Pay the man. Blake Snell, that was encouraging what he did today. Nick Martinez, yesterday, in a start where he wasn't even supposed to start because Clev got COVID and he pitched well. We'll get to him. It's Kinnear coming out of the bullpen. I know he's back in AAA now because he wasn't available today, but he pitched really well. A 4 2/3 shutout performance out of the bullpen last night to kind of save the bullpen. Going into, well, today's game, I know they lost, but going into today's game and then going into the Chicago Cubs series, there was a lot more encouraging performance, I thought, and disappointing ones in this series split. Who do we play tomorrow, Randall says? We play the Cubs. We play four games against the Cubs on road trip, and then we play three games against the Rockies next weekend to finish out the road trip, and then back home. All right, shall we start with game one here? Padres split this series. They won the first two games and then lost the last two. Game one, this was one of the best nights I've had at the ballpark this year. I know that. Just from, you know, start to finish, going in there early, being there for batting practice, obviously, getting to meet with Joe Gaglione, the head guy with Gaglione Bros. So, again, feel free to follow the Talking Friars Twitter account. We will be having some giveaways shortly, so stay tuned for that. Met with him, and then I've actually been going back and forth with her on Twitter, Cassidy Coleman-Williams. That was great to meet her and her family. And we went 1-0 after meeting her. Met with Stephen Woods and his wife, Hannah. That was the first time I'd met Hannah. That was really cool. So just a great night overall. That was before the game. And then during the game, obviously getting to see Musgrove pitch, a shutout performance, six innings, no runs, just Joe Musgrove being Joe Musgrove, you know? And then Manny hitting a home run. That's my sister, my little sister's favorite player. And when he hit that home run to left, she went nuts. Just a good night overall. It didn't give up any runs. And it seemed like everyone in the lineup on Friday night came through for their 36th win on the season to improve to 36-22. Did they get news pregame that Myers was going to be out for another 3 to 4 weeks with the knee issue, electing not to have surgery? Yeah, but that seemed like pretty much the only bad news, if you want to call it bad news, because I kind of view it as a positive, is that Nomar Mazara just gets more at-bats now. But just a good night overall. Crony came through. Mazara went 3 for 5. He was hitting .400 at the end of the night. The bullpen, Stammen, Hill, Wilson combined to allow one hit. Didn't walk anyone. Just a great night overall. Voit came through. I know he had a double in the gap. Crony came through, I think, a couple times. 9-0 win. There's just not a lot to talk about in these blowout wins because of how great they play, right? You can't really, like, elaborate on a whole lot of stuff because of how great they played. Like, this is like one of those games where you can't really critique anything and you can only, like, praise them and continue to praise them, you know, so much. You know what I'm saying? Because I could keep going. I could go down the line with everyone that played well, that pitched well that night. And Joe Musgrove, you know, those six shutout innings that I already talked about. The offense, four doubles, Grisham, Crony, Voit, Kim, they had a triple. Profar had that. Manny, obviously, with the home run. That was his 10th home run of the season. Yeah. And then also before the game, I want to touch on this. Robinson Cano, he signed that minor league deal to El Paso with the Padres, which was, I said it on the pregame show on Friday when I was at Petco. I thought it was a little weird that Cano would, you know, be willing to come to the Padres on a minor league deal just because it's Robinson Cano. He's accomplished so much in his career. It's kind of like, oh, wow, okay, so he's willing to go down, get some at-bats, and, you know, mentor C.J. Abrams and Estre Ruiz and Luis Camposano maybe a little bit and talk to guys. Like, I think that's cool, and that's props to him. Hats off to him for, you know, being willing to do that. And obviously he loves the game or else he wouldn't have done that. You know, he played yesterday in his first El Paso game wearing SpongeBob uniforms. Yeah, no joke. They wore SpongeBob uniforms last night. And he got a hit in that game. CJ Abrams went off as well. I think I have that in my notes that I'll get to when I'm talking about yesterday's game. But just overall, a great, great night on Friday night. Just from the atmosphere and then seeing Musgrove pitch and just the offense really performing the way that we obviously hope that it can perform on a more consistent basis. And obviously they did it without Fernando, and they've been doing it without Fernando for the entire year. And I'm not saying they've been scoring 9 runs like they did on Friday the entire year, but they have 37 wins right now and are, what, 13 games over 500 after today's loss without Fernando, and with Kim struggling at the plate as of late, and Hosmer crashing back down to earth, and Grisham not doing great offensively. It's been better, been a little better, but they've had a lot of people not producing and not having Fernando is obviously a big, big barrier. But they still have 37 wins on the year, and they are, what are they, a half game back or game and a half back of the Dodgers right now in the National League West? Sign me up for that, you know? All right, so that was Friday's game. Saturday in Kevin Acey's newsletter, I wanted to get to this. He has a newsletter usually every morning, and I read that, take some stats from that. Some of the stats aren't always correct, so I have to email him sometimes to correct him on that, and he fixes it. So I do try to check when I'm like, if that's right, but he usually does a great job. Anyway, for Kevin Acey's newsletter, that was on Sunday morning that I saw this. In terms of the Joe talks, the update, it was kind of like an update on the Joe Musgrove extension talks, because obviously coming off 6 shutout innings on Friday, it just feels like, okay, when are we paying this guy? You know, when are we paying this guy? Update on this. Both sides continue to talk is what AC said. This part did not make sense. And I put this on Twitter. He said, depending on who you talk to, they're not that far apart, or the Padres' offer remains insultingly low. So AC saying, depending on who you talk to, either they're close, they're not that far apart. So I would think if you're talking to the Padres side of things, they're going to say, nah, we're not that far apart. Or if you talk to probably Musgrove's side, they're going to tell you the offer remains insultingly low. So, yeah, I don't think they're really that close then. I'm going to buy the player. I'm going to listen to the player's, the remaining insultingly low offer part of that, what AC said. Because at the end of the day, he's the one that has to sign the contract. He's not giving out. He has to put pen to paper. So whatever he's saying, or whatever his side is saying, if the offer remains insultingly low to Musgrove's side, that's all that matters. Padres might think, oh, this is competitive. But if it's only, you know, $50 million to the $11 million a year offer that we have the first time around, what was that? During the season, if it's like creased it like that, that's still probably insultingly low to Musgrove's side, saying that offer is a year. But I'm just saying that I think that if it is like $15 million or $16 or even $17 million a year, that's still probably going to be insultingly low to Musgrove and to Musgrove's camp, because he knows if he hits the free agent market right now, he would definitely be getting $20-plus million a year, easily. I think teams would offer him $25 a year. That's he's pitching right now, to be quite honest. So that's not the most encouraging date from Kevin Acey that he delivered on Saturday. He also did say, though, that San Diego is offering more than what they were offering earlier this year, so more than the $11 million AAV average value that they offered Musgrove at the beginning of the season, which is good, but it's also like, well, yeah, no duh. You had to. If you want to keep Joe Musgrove, yeah, you have to offer more than $11 freaking million a year. Blake Snell, what isn't he making like $16 million a year? If he's making 16, Musgrove's like, really? $11 million a year? You're kidding. That's a joke. You know, so yeah, I guess it's fine. It's cool that they're upping their offer, the Padres are, but it's going to have to be higher than what it is right now. Again, we don't know what the concrete offer is on the table to Musgrove and how much of an increase Musgrove is receiving in terms of the offer. But it seems like right now, the side that I'm going to listen to is Musgrove's side, and they're still saying that Musgrove's or the Padres' offer to Musgrove remains insultingly low. So that's not the best update. I did want to get to this was funny. At the game on Friday, so I was at the game, so I wasn't watching the game on TV, obviously. But I was scrolling Twitter and all that because. During half innings and all that, and I met up with Cassidy Coleman Williams before the game, and she showed the sign that she had, extend Musgrove, the white sign, because they were sitting right by the plate. She was, and I was like, oh cool, because I felt like that's the one that she was gonna do, and you would think that the extend Musgrove sign had been in the right order, right? It really was. Ended up not being in the right order. It actually ended up being, it said extend, right? Like E-X-T-E-N-D. That was in the right order. She did it right. But then instead of having, because it was separated into like three different parts of Musgrove. So I think it was the M-U-S, the G-R-O, and then the V-E. And instead of having Musgrove like in the right order, it was grow Musve on the, so it was extend grow Musve. So they messed up the sign and everyone got a laugh on that, laugh about that on social media. I did want to mention that here. I'll try to find it because that was funny. Hang on, let me see here. Let me see. I'm scrolling, trying to find it. All right, here it is. Wait a second. Okay. This isn't. Hang on. I'll find it. Because the picture I saw wasn't the actual picture. But I did see it somewhere. Here it is. Okay. So this is the picture. So it said extend, right? She had the extend sign. And then it said Grosve. It was just spelled. Missed. The order was wrong. That was hilarious. Every time I see that, that makes me laugh. So that's been like a hashtag going around. And maybe that caught, hopefully it caught the Padres' attention. And they're like, oh yeah, that Musgrove guy. Yeah, let's work out an extension for that guy. Yeah, Padres, that should have happened a long time ago. Or at least their offer should have been more competitive a long time ago, if you get what I'm saying there. All right, so we went over the Musgrove extension update, if you will. Again, it's not that encouraging of an update. But moving to Saturday's game after Friday's win, they would win again in game one. There was a doubleheader. They won the first game, lost the second game. Chasing the Horizon here on YouTube in the comments says, Clev's still in COVID protocol. Yes, that's why he wasn't able to pitch in game one. I think he was scheduled to pitch game one on Saturday, yesterday, and then he didn't pitch. And instead, it was Nick Martinez pitching. And then I think Blake Snell was supposed to start Monday, And then his start got pushed up to today, where he actually ended up pitching well. But on Saturday, game one, Clevin Morhone put on the COVID IL. Reese Kinnear, Ray Kerr called up. Brent Rooker was called up as the 27th man. Brent Rooker, despite being called up, he didn't even get an at-bat. So he gets called up in Milwaukee, doesn't get an at-bat, gets called up here, doesn't get an at-bat. No idea why they haven't given him an at-bat yet. Just give him an at-bat. Let's see him. Please, can we see him in a Major League Padres uniform at the plate? That's what you bring him up for, don't you? I still don't understand that. And how they sent down Rooker instead of Wilson when they brought Rooker up for Will Myers, right? When Myers went on the IL, I think that's what it was. And they sent down Rooker to activate a pitch in Clev in Milwaukee instead of sending down a pitcher. That just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But on Saturday, Grish homered, fourth home run of the year, made it 1-0. In the sixth, Colorado tied it up 1-1. Alvaro let a Martinez drop third strike go to the backstop. Blackman came around to score. Blackman was the hitter. He reached to first. He ended up coming around to score to tie the game. That ended up being costly, obviously, because then the Padres had to go to extra innings instead of win it in 9 innings, which they could have if they won 1-0 instead of 2-1 like they ended up doing. But Nick Martinez, having his start be pushed up, pitched really well. 5 2/3 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts on 97 pitches. Fourth and the sixth innings that he pitched were like his only really hiccups. You know, that's why he wasn't able to finish that sixth inning. But those were the only hiccups that he had, was in the fourth and in the sixth inning. But, I mean, he's been like that underrated guy in this Padres rotation. Maybe because he hasn't been in the rotation the entire year. He's kind of been back and forth. He was in the rotation, you know, when Clev started the season on the IL. And then he was piggybacking behind, was it Gore? Behind Snell, I believe, in Philly. And then he's back in the rotation because Clev went on the COVID protocol list or whatever they call it. But regardless of what his role has been this year, he has stepped up to it, so props to him. In the seventh, Chris Mack came in, got out of jams, the first one in the seventh, 5-4-3 double play with the runner in scoring position, and then I believe he pitched the next inning as well. He might have only just pitched the seventh, but Chris Mack, Garcia, Rogers, and Wilson combined for 4 1/3 scoreless innings yesterday in game one of that doubleheader. They did not walk anybody, and that's what kept them in this game. And allowed them to obviously go on and win 2-1. And in that 10th inning, Manny started the inning on second base because of the stupid runner on second extra innings rule. It wasn't really that stupid yesterday because it ended up helping the Padres, right? But I mean, Manny's great base running, high IQ. There was a ball in the dirt, got a little bit away from Elias Diaz. Manny decided to run for it and go steal third. He ended up getting it, and he forced Elias Diaz to throw. It ended up being a bad throw. Gets past the third baseman. Manny gets up, runs, sprints home. Padres win, walk it off. And the Manny doesn't hustle narrative continues to lose. It continues to not really be viable right now. And yes, on my Twitter account at Talking Friars, where I post highlights to games that I'm not at, have there been times where I've clipped the highlight of, oh, Manny got caught not hustling here. One happened in Milwaukee, for example, where Manny hit a grounder to Colton Wong at second base, and he ended up not hustling, was jogging. Wong bobbled it, and then Manny kind of increased his speed. And then, but ended up getting thrown out. And if he would have ran at like 80% the entire way instead of 50, he would have gotten to it, you know? But then later in the game, in the ninth inning, he ends up stretching a single into a double in Milwaukee. So, yeah, there are times where he doesn't hustle. But I'm going to point out those times because I'm fine with him not hustling all the time. I want to be clear with that. I'm fine with him not hustling all the time. I just think that he should go like 70, 80% at least all the time instead of like clearly not trying. There's some times where he does do that. But I also realize at the same time that he's the guy that stays healthiest on the team, or at least he's the guy, probably along with Crony, that plays pretty much every day. And so I do realize how valuable that is, and I do appreciate that. So I try not to get him hard, and there are times where, like I mentioned, he doesn't totally hustle, and I'm not saying he has to hustle, but he doesn't give, 70, 80 down the line. But here, when it really matters, he's going to hustle every time. I have no doubt about that. And that's exactly what happened in that 10th inning yesterday. He hustled. He had a high IQ. Some guys probably wouldn't have tried to take third base there. They would have been like, hey, I'm already in scoring position. Why try to take third and maybe get thrown out? But he took it. He had a good read. And then he ends up scoring. No offense needed there in that 10th inning. And he was probably like, hey, there isn't going to be a whole lot of offense. We've scored one run in this game. Not going to be a whole lot of offense to take chance because I don't know if we're going to get another great chance like this. And he ends up paying, or the Padres end up paying off on that chance. They end up, what's the word I'm looking for? They end up benefiting off of that hustle play that Manny did there in that 10th inning to end that game. So Padres take that one 2-1. Again, props to the bullpen, Chris Mack, Garcia, Rogers, Wilson, for combining for a shutout out of the bullpen. And then Nick Martinez on, I would guess, short notice, 5 2/3 innings, only giving up one run. Really pitching really, really well. And obviously that changeup is his best friend. And I thought that fastball played pretty well yesterday as well. In game two, though, that's where it kind of went to crap, if you will. It just was not pretty. The game was over, it seemed like, from the beginning. And with Mackenzie Gore on the mound the second game of the doubleheader yesterday, I'm not mad at him. Like, he's a rookie. When you realize the circumstances and where he was at this time last year, and it's like this guy has a 1.5 ERA or something crazy like that. Entering yesterday's start, but I'm saying going into yesterday's game, entering today's start, a 1.5 ERA or whatever he had. He's the front runner of the National League Rookie of the Year. He's allowed to have a bad outing. That's what he had. It's fine. He didn't make it out of the fourth inning. Didn't throw 70 pitches. Yeah, it was his worst start of the season. Totally his worst start of the season. 6 earned runs he allowed, 5 hits. Only struck out 3, went 2 1/3 innings on 63 pitches. He walked 4 guys, and that was the big story, the walks. It was kind of like Blake on, what was that, Monday against the Mets. Just didn't have it, couldn't locate, didn't feel well. I'm not saying like his head or like he felt nauseous or anything like that. Gore was just saying post-game yesterday that he just didn't feel it, and that's okay. I said that in my post-game reaction. It's okay. Gore, he's a rookie. You're allowed to have a bad outing. He has outperformed, I would say, at least in my viewpoint, he has outperformed expectations this year so far. And if you're going to lose, at least they lost when like Bomell wasn't managing, or Ryan Christensen for that matter. And I guess they got unlucky with Ryan Christensen and Bob Melvin being on the COVID list or whatever. I don't know if tested positive for it or it was a close contact. Maybe it was a close contact. I think it's weird that Melvin and Christensen were able to manage the first game but didn't manage the second game. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, are they testing them in between games? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. tests come back in between games. That's kind of weird. And then also, why Ryan Flair was the interim manager instead of Matt Williams. Like, Matt Williams is a former big league manager. He has managed playoff teams. He managed Bryce Harper and the Nationals when they went to the playoffs. He has worked with Bob Melvin and Ryan Christensen for years now. So you would think that the former manager would have been interim manager for yesterday's second game and today's game, because Melvin and Christensen were still in protocols, along with Morihone and Clev, by the way. So I thought that the former manager would have managed, but they gave it to Ryan Flaherty. I'm not going to bash the guy, but I definitely didn't feel confident in him, seeing him, you know, blowing bubbles in the dugout and all that, and him walk out making pitching changes than I do with, like, Bomell, you know, being the manager. Now, Matt Williams probably was in his ear a lot when he was the interim manager. And, yeah, the Padres were 0-2 in Ryan Flaherty era. Who knows if that Ryan Flaherty era is going to continue tomorrow in Chicago when they play the Cubs, the first of four games against the Cubs, and then they play three against the Rockies. But, yeah, they're 0-2 so far in the Ryan Flaherty era. I don't think that has a whole lot to do with Ryan Flaherty, right? They scored two runs in the second game yesterday, and Gore sucked. Like, Ryan Flaherty doesn't – he's not the one that's on the mound. He didn't go walk four guys, right? So I'm not going to bash Ryan Flaherty. I just thought it was kind of weird that Flaherty was the pick to be the interim manager when they had a former manager in the dugout. Maybe that's just me, but I thought that was kind of weird. Anything else here? Rhys Kinnear, I mean, I want to give him props for yesterday in the second game. Going 4 2/3 shutout innings, just total, pretty much dominance. I mean, what, he gave up, I don't know how many hits, but he didn't give up any runs, obviously. Didn't walk anyone. Struck out three guys, 65 pitches. Obviously got sent down today because he wasn't going to be available today after pitching that long yesterday. But that was a total, like, Nabil Crismat 2021 performance, when you think about it, because he came in and he totally was the MVP of the loss yesterday. Saved the bullpen, and he knew that he was going to get sent down, probably. But he was like, hey, I had a 7-plus ERA. I think that's what it was, like a 7-plus ERA in the minors, and now they're calling me up. Hey, use this chance and take advantage of this chance that I'm getting and go pitch well. Who cares what the situation is? Act like it's game seven of the World Series and let's go dominate. Hopefully that's what his mentality was. It seems like that's what it was because it worked. He pitched really, really well yesterday. So props to him. I mean, I saw in AC's newsletter, was it the longest? Yeah, I think it was the longest shutout relief performance or appearance by a Padre since Robbie Erlin did it in like 2015, I want to say. So yeah, Robbie Erlin, talk about throwback. My friends in high school, or one of them, he actually was a Dodger fan. He'd call him Bobby Erlin. He's Robbie Erlin. Wow, what a guy. He was kind of like the Craig Stammen, huh? Coming out of the a little bit, starting a little bit when the team like absolutely needed him to. That was Stauffer. My bad. I'm confusing Erlin and Stauffer, of the guy that gave up Harper's first home run ever at Nats Park, dead center. Just totally took Stauffer deep. Anyway, getting back to Saturday's game, Padres lose 6-2 in the minor leagues. Yesterday, I talked about this a little bit earlier, Cano made his El Paso debut. He got a hit. And then C.J. Abrams had a big home run, a monster bat flip. That was one of his five hits yesterday in AAA. He had four singles, a home run in the 5-for-6 day for El Paso. And they're wearing SpongeBob unis. So that was kind of funny. Robinson Cano in the SpongeBob uniforms. That was funny. Is there anything else to talk about in this game? I mean, yeah, Gore sucked. He had a bases loaded walk to Connor Joe that first run of the game. It was just a fastball up. It was kind of like Blake Snell against the Mets in that start, where he had 43 pitches in the first inning. Gore didn't have that, but it was kind of just that slow type of performance. And then when Craig Stammen came into the game, holy cow, speed it up, Craigie. I mean, I was timing pitches. It was like 26 seconds in between pitches, and it felt a whole lot longer. I mean, done a lot in between pitches. It says, funny you mentioned in high school. Freshman in 2015. When would that have been? I think it was 2017. Or 18. Might have been 2018. I graduated high school at Helix in 2021. So, yeah, it wasn't 2015. Were you a freshman in 2015? Maybe that's what you were thinking. Anyway, Padres lost 6-2. 37-23 was their record. And then they'd end up losing on Sunday. Pre-game Sunday, though, news came down that Denelson Lamet had been promoted to AAA El Paso from AA San Antonio. In fact, I'll look up his numbers, how he was doing. Maybe face like former big leaguers now and maybe get progress going so that he's back in the big leagues. Because remember, they sent him down to the minor leagues and he didn't pitch in AAA. And Tim Haggerty was saying, yeah, he was on the taxi squad. When they're on the taxi squad, they're technically on the AAA roster. Hold on one second. Let me load these Lamet stats. So when he was moved to AA, okay, so he allowed 3 runs in 6 appearances in AA with the Missions. The longest that he went in any of these outings were inning and 2/3 on June 2nd against the Tulsa Drillers. They got some weird names in the minor leagues. I'll tell you. Rock Hounds he faced, the Riders, the Drillers, the Christy Hooks. Wow. And then El Paso, they were like the SpongeBobs yesterday because of the SpongeBob uniforms. That was weird. But as for Lamet, his first outing in AA, an inning, didn't give up a run. Next outing, an inning, didn't give up a run. Inning and a third, 2 runs. Inning and inning and 2/3, 1 run. Then his most 2 recent outings, June 7th, went an inning, didn't give up a run. And then his most recent outing was June 11th, so yesterday, went an inning, didn't give up a run. And then the Padres brought him up to AAA. So Since he was in AA, he was pitching pretty good. So that's a good sign. Because Lamet, man, he was struggling when he was obviously with the Major League club this year. He just didn't have it. And it sucked to see, like, him getting hit around. The command wasn't totally great. Because the main reason why it was so disappointing was because of how good he was in 2020, right? We saw that little short spurt before he got hurt in San Francisco before the playoffs that year. I was like, wow, this guy, I mean, he finished as a Cy Young finalist. And now not only is he not in the rotation, but then he was in the bullpen and he still dealt with forearm issues because he elected not to have the surgery when he got hurt in 2020. And that delayed it. And then he sucked this year most of the time that he was with the big league club. So it's good to finally see him having some success. I know it's in AA. You could say Bennett's in AA. Hoosiers, and I totally understand that point. But it's definitely encouraging that the Padres are at least confident that he's in the upward right trajectory that they're going to out of AAA. Brent Rooker was sent back down before today's game after not having an at-bat again. Still has not had an at-bat yet with the Padres at the big league level. Kyle Tyler was brought up. He ended up not even pitching. I think he's been claimed or signed or however it is for the Padres a couple times this year. I think he was with the Red Sox, the Angels, and the Padres twice. He's been a lot of different stops, a lot of different moving parts there with Kyle Tyler, but he did not even pitch today. But he was brought up, I think, to replace Kinnear because of how many pitches Kinnear had yesterday, obviously. But today, Padres lost 4-2 to the Rockies. For their second straight loss. Snell was the big takeaway of this game. Real, real positive takeaway for me. 6 innings, 2 runs. His first walk didn't come until the 4th inning. I mean, it took him just 35 pitches to get through those first 3 innings. It took him 8 less pitches to get through his first 3 innings today than it did for him to get through 1 inning against the Mets earlier this week. That's how good he was, you know, at the beginning of this start. In the 4th inning, that was the big, like, taxing inning on him. He allowed 30-plus pitch inning there. First 2 Colorado runs scored on balls that weren't hit that hard on Snell. They were less than 85 miles an hour. I saw Ben Higgins tweet that today during the game. It was a sac fly. There was one that was ham shot. I mean, I was listening to Blow's post-game presser. And, yeah, Jermaine says in the comments, Snell seems lifeless in these interviews. I feel like he's just not happy to be a Padre. Well, I disagree with that one. I think he is happy to be a Padre. I think he's disappointed that the team lost. And he probably thinks that he's just not helping the team out as much as he wants to. And that's what happens with pitchers is they're perfectionists, right? And when their team loses, they feel like it's on them. That Snell, he gave up 4 runs. He gave up 2 runs. And he's probably like, I shouldn't have given up any runs, or I should have given up only 1 run. You know, that's how he feels. But I definitely disagree with your thought that Blake Snell doesn't seem happy. I think he's happy here. I think he loves the rotation, being in this rotation. But like I said, his first walk didn't come until that 4th. There were jam shots, plenty of jam shots. That's what Snell was saying as well in his post-game presser in the clubhouse that I saw. I'm just trying to think of my main takeaways. He was pounding the zone, you know, and Ryan Flaherty, his post-game pressers are brutal. I mean, not saying a whole lot of words at all, kind of hunched over. It's like, come on, dude. Like, this is your time to shine. But anyway, he was saying in his post-game presser, got a cough. In his post-game presser, he was just saying how, yeah, when Blake Snell, it's simple with him. When he throws the ball at the plate, he has success. When he doesn't throw over the plate, that's where you get into trouble with the walk and just the inconsistency, right? Like we saw in that Mets start. There was some inconsistency in this start, but it wasn't a whole lot. There was one, I think it was that 4th inning, where one of the Rockies runners on a swinging bunt on the third baseline, barely stayed fair, and Snell it up. He was about to throw, and all ran right in front of him. So there were some unlucky stuff that happened in Snell's performance today. But overall, it was really, really encouraging. I loved what I saw specifically in those first innings, and an 8-pitch inning that had like 3 groundouts at one point. So this is a really, really encouraging start out of Blake Snell that hopefully he can continue to build on. Well, not continue, that he can build on moving forward. I mean, his final line today, 6 innings, 2 runs, walked 2, struck out 7. And that's what I also noticed. That's another one. I did notice that early in the game, he was getting a lot of strikeouts. He had like 4 strikeouts through his first like 5 or 6 batters that he faced. That fastball was working. The fastball up and away that where he was missing in that Mets start, that was not happening early on in today's start against the Rockies. He was hitting that spot. He was going up and out, but up and out inside the strike zone, the upper right part of the strike zone. He was hitting that. So that was really encouraging from what I saw. And that line that I read to you, that was on 94 pitches. And then Chris Mack came in behind him, didn't give up any runs. Tim Hill didn't give up any runs in the ninth inning that he pitched, top of the ninth. Garcia, yeah, he gave up those runs when the game was tied at 2. That made it 4-2 Rockies. That doubled down the right field line to Ryan McMahon. And I think funny, all those people, you know, in the replies and, you know, when, because the highlight I posted, well, it was a low light for the Padres, but you get what I'm saying. Posted the video McMahon's double. And there were people saying in the comments to it, Garcia sucks. I saw someone on Twitter say that we need like a reliable 8th inning reliever. Kind of like how Dellin Betances was with the Yankees. And it's kind of like, are you guys not even watching the game? Clearly not watching Luis Garcia and most of his appearances during the season. Because if you did, you would not have that opinion of, oh, Garcia sucks. I looked it up. 20 of his 24 appearances this season, he has shut out his opponent for however long he was in the game. And entering today's game before giving up those 2 runs on that 2 RBI doubled by McMahon, he had 8 scoreless outings. Again, 8 scoreless outings entering today. So he's been really good. I'm confident in Garcia. I'm more confident in him than probably Suarez. I know Suarez is on the IL with the knee issue. Hopefully he comes back soon. But I'm more confident in him than Suarez. And I like him in the 8th spot. I'm more confident in him right now probably than Steven Wilson. I was really confident in Steven Wilson at the beginning of the season. But that obviously, he struggled, hit a rough patch. He's been, I think his last couple of pitches have been good, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I trust Rodgers. I trust Garcia. I trust Chris Mack. Those are like the big 3 guys that I trust right now out of that bullpen. Stammen, definitely not. Wilson, I do trust him, but just not as much as the other 3 guys I named. Tim Hill, he gets out of jam sometimes. I don't know. Don't really trust him. So it's really 3 guys right now. Kim, in that 6th inning, he was robbed that home run to left field, the game-tying home run, or it would have been the game-tying home run at that point. But who was it? Jonathan Daza made that catch and left and robbed him. It was a tremendous catch, by the way, but it would only been a solo home run. That would have only given them the 3rd run of the game. They ended up losing 4-2. So I don't know how much of a difference that would have made. But today, yeah, was today disappointing? Was one of the disappointing performances this series today? In terms of the offense scoring 2 runs. Yeah. And Marquez comes in with like a 5+ ERA and you score 2 runs. Yeah. But also, it was a positive. I think what I saw out of Luke Voit for the majority of the series was a positive. And what I saw out of Blake Snell today was a positive. What I saw out of Joe Musgrove, obviously, on Friday was a positive, just like it's been a positive every start that he's had, right? I think he has a quality start in every start this so far this season. He hasn't hit that rough start like Gore hit on Saturday in game 2 of that doubleheader. I was encouraged by Nick Martinez. There was a lot more encouragements, I thought. Nomar Mazara is another one. A lot more encouraging performances in this series, despite the split against a bad team. I understand it was a bad team, and I thought that they should have won the series, so I am disappointed in that. But you know, I guess I'm just choosing to look at it in a half glass full mentality point of view, and that, hey, they didn't lose the series. They're still 13 games over 500 at 37-24. They're still well within reaching distance or whatever you want to say of the Dodgers. For the National League West, in first place in the National League West. Did the Giants sweep the Dodgers this weekend? Let me look that up. They might have. Yeah. Giants won 2-0. So the Dodgers, oh, wow. So the Dodgers actually have the same record that we do right now. Let me see if they've updated it yet. They have not updated it. But yeah, both teams. Oh, wait. My bad. Scratch that. No, my bad. I looked at the win column. Dodgers are 37-23. The Padres are 37-24. Okay. So we're still a half game back of the Dodgers right now for first place in the National League West. All right. Well, in the chat, let me know. Are you happy with the series split? Are you disappointed? Are you kind of viewing it like me, where it's like, at least they didn't lose the series? You got some good performances out of Martinez, out of Musgrove, and Snell. Or are you looking at it the other way, and you're like, no, man, we should have won this series. Should have took 3 out of 4. Luis Garcia needs to step it up, which I don't understand really how you have that opinion, because he's pitched pretty great this season for the majority of the year. Do you think that be worried about Mackenzie Gore? I'm not. He's allowed to have one bad start. Okay. Well, he's allowed to have multiple bad starts, to be honest. Maybe not in a row, but he's allowed to have some clunkers. He's a rookie. He's still the front runner of the National League Rookie of the Year, probably. Not concerned about him. Not concerned about Luis Garcia. Not concerned. I was going to say someone else, but maybe that's the last guy. Yeah, I think that's the last guy. But yeah, those are the main two ones, right? Garcia from today, and then Gore yesterday giving up those 6 runs. Not concerned about those guys. All right. Let's go through some comments here. I know you guys, a lot of comments here in the chat while I've been talking. Sky says, have you seen the AJ Casavell tweet yet regarding Bomell and the staff versus the Cubs? Yeah, I think I saw Casavell. Didn't he say that Bob Melvin, Christensen, Mahone, and Clev aren't cleared to travel yet? I think that's what I saw. Maybe it wasn't from AJ, but it was from some reporter. That they're not able to travel yet, so I would assume that Flaherty would be the interim manager again. Again, I don't understand why he's the interim manager. I think that the easy decision would have been to have Matt Williams be the manager. But that's what they went with. Yes, Clev is still in COVID protocol. Chasing the Horizon asked that. Renee says, get rid of Snell for a bat. No matter if he pitches fine, we can't win. This team doesn't seem to be into it every time he's on the mound. I disagree with that. I mean, no matter if he pitches fine, we can't win. Well, if he pitches fine, he's giving the Padres a better chance to win. Like, he can't control what the offense does. He doesn't hit. They took away that last year, and it's not like he was a good hitter. He can't hit. He's not Shohei Ohtani. So if he's pitching fine, I'd rather have him pitching fine. And you'll just hope that the offense will come around, you know? Trade him for a bat. And you say get rid of Snell for a bat. And yeah, if he keeps pitching well and the rotation stays healthy and there's a bat that becomes appealing for the Padres, okay, then maybe you do it later down the road. Not right now. It's too early. We've seen with injuries, as we saw last year, you can never have enough starting pitching. And I just don't know what you would get back for Snell right now. Like, because of how, I mean, they're still, what, a month, 2 months, a month and a half maybe, month and three quarters away from the trade deadline. There's still a lot of time to go. So teams that might be willing to get an outfield bat come end of July, maybe they're not willing to do that right now. So I don't know if it, I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to trade Snell right now. Yeah, Anthony, you say Snell is, or the team has lost six straight Snell starts, but yeah, has he been bad? He was bad on against the Mets. What was that, Monday? He was bad against the Mets. But he pitched good today, I thought. And the couple starts before that, he wasn't terrible. He allowed, what, two, three runs? Okay. That's fine. For Snell, that's fine. It's not like his Musgrove pitching and our expectations are like six-inning shutouts all the time. That's not who Snell is. So you got to lower your expectations, I think. Because right now, what is he in terms of reliability? What number starter is he? That's not including Clev or Morjon. So Musgrove, what? Musgrove 1, Gore, Darvish, Manaea, and then so Snell would be the fifth. I mean, Martinez, maybe even have Martinez ahead of Snell. But just to be nice to Snell, so that's your fifth starter. You can't expect him to have shutouts all the time. You know, two, three runs, that's fine. So the team losing six straight Snell starts, that's not all on Snell, in my opinion. Just going through the comments here. Sal says he wants Ryan Christensen managing. He's a better option than Flaherty. Christensen, COVID, he couldn't manage. Or else they would have had Christensen manage, like they did when Bob Melvin had the surgery this year. Let's see here. Irie asked, why isn't Mike Shildt the manager? Because he's working a little bit with the league office, and his role with the Padres was to be with, like, the front office a little bit and to pop in every once in a while and to work as, like, a development person in the organization. His job isn't to be with the team every day. I know he was the third base coach to start the year because Matt Williams was dealing, I think, with a knee surgery or something. But that was just on a short-term basis. And now you could say that again, like, okay, she'll be the short-term manager for three or four games, however long Melvin said. But he's not with the team every day and in the clubhouse every day like those coaches are. So he probably would admit this well. He just doesn't know the team as well as Christensen, or I know Christensen isn't an option right now, or as, you know, Flaherty or Matt Williams, Niebla, guys like that. All right, so before we get here, Padres right now sitting 37-24. The upcoming road trip, got four against the Cubs at Wrigley. Darvish is pitching tomorrow. Don't know any of the other starters on, what would that be, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, a day game. And then they have three games against the Rockies. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Rockies before coming back home. The Cubs are 23-36. They got crushed in that series at Yankee Stadium. Crushed. There were home runs right and left. The Padres can continue that at Wrigley tomorrow. And with three at Colorado, Colorado's 27-34 after today's win, which is almost opposite record of the Padres. 10 fewer wins than the Padres. This is a road trip that I think they should go 5-2. 4-3, I guess, would be acceptable, maybe if there's a weird circumstance, but 5-2 definitely feels like what they should finish this road trip with. Because yeah, it was a little disappointing to split this series, and I did come at it from the half glass full point of view. But you would have liked to have one of these last two games. So if they can take, you know, three out against the Cubs instead of splitting, and kind of make up that game. And then they take two out of three against the Rockies, finish off 5-2. I'll be really happy with that. obviously you want sweeps, but I'm trying to be realistic. So I think a 5-2 road trip is what you should expect or want to have happen if you're a Padre fan. And yeah, like I mentioned, Melvin, Christensen, Morjone, and Clev, as of now, I believe, are not, they have not been cleared to fly to Chicago, probably with the team. I don't know if they've been cleared to fly at all. I haven't seen any updates on that. Yeah, just trying to look on Twitter. Don't see any updates on that. But yeah, it doesn't seem like they're cleared yet. So obviously with Morjone, you know, he was in the bullpen. And he was a really good piece for that bullpen, at least that one outing we saw. When was that? I'm blanking on that. I know it was during the Mets. We went two scoreless innings to finish off that eighth, ninth inning. But he was he definitely looked like a good piece of that bullpen, and he'll be back. You just don't know really when he will be back and when Clev will make that start. All right. I think that's it. This has been episode 181 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I'm your host, Ben Fadden. This episode is brought to you by Gaglione Bros, famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries. You can visit gaglione.com to view their entire menu, their addresses, the phone numbers, all that. Stay tuned for the giveaways like at the beginning of the episode. That'll be coming soon, probably starting tomorrow. I got another Manny bobblehead as well. That might be a giveaway. If anyone's interested in that, it'll be at Talking Friars on Twitter. That'll probably be how I do the giveaway, just how I did the giveaway for Saturday's tickets that I gave away last Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. But that'll do it. Everyone enjoy your Sunday night or your Monday, whenever you're listening or watching to this. I hope you subscribe to this YouTube channel, Talking Friars YouTube channel, for daily Padres content. Have a good one, everyone. And I'll talk to you later. See ya.